actually want 2016 to be better than 2015 every year? Indeed. How many of you are actually doing something to change 2016? Okay, the rest of you, there's a little saying. And it says, to continue to do the same thing over and over and expect different results is the definition of insanity. So if you expect 2016 to be different than 2015, yet you're doing everything exactly the same, you are insane. You're insane because it's not going to change. And I'd liken to making a batch of cookies. How many do not like chocolate chip cookies? Oh. I really didn't expect to see it. I was just totally kidding. Okay, this goes for everyone except for him. But if you are wanting chocolate chip cookies, yet you're using the recipe for sugar cookies, and you mix it up, and you throw it in, and you expect chocolate chip cookies to come out of the oven, you're crazy. Yet some of us do the very same things with our lives. We want our lives to be different. We want to grow. We're called to grow spiritually, and that's what this whole thing is about. Yet we continue to do the same things over and over, and then at the end of the year we go, oh, 2016 was just as difficult as 2015 was. Well, you know what? You didn't change anything. What do you expect? Now, there are certain circumstances outside our control that will influence on how our lives go. But there are a lot of things that happen to us, a lot of circumstances that we find ourselves in, which is due to our choices. The choices that we make have consequences, both good and bad. So to continually to make bad choices and expect good consequences is insanity. So we're thinking about what we're talking about here with the same old is, do you want to grow? And if so, what are you doing about it? Because you have to take an active part in that growth. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. You guys should be able to quote it with me by now. It says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. To just say that I am a Christian and then to live your life however you want is erroneous. It says that once you become a believer, once you believe in your heart that God sent his Son to die for you, and you accept that, there now begins a period of growth. And that growth should happen the rest of your life. If you're a person that says, you know what, I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 4, and you're now 54, and you don't know any more about who God is than you would do when you were 4, there's something wrong. It's not just a get out of hell free card. It is becoming a child of God. And when you adopt someone into your family, the dad or the parents get to make the rules in the household. You don't adopt a son or a daughter into your family and go, okay, you can do whatever it is you want to do. That would be a crazy house. So we are to grow. Once we make that decision, we are to grow in that decision. So, we've been talking about growth, and in the scriptures, there is a recipe for growth. And it is 2 Chronicles 7:14. We've been going over this one a long time too. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. There are 4 ingredients to growth in that scripture. Humble, pray, seek my face, and turn. Those are the 4 ingredients to growth. And so we looked at humble, what it means to be humble, to practice humility, and that is the number one ingredient. Because if you are not humble, that means that you are proud. And God hates pride. In fact, it says he does not hear the prayers of a proud person. So if you have not been working on humility first, God doesn't hear your prayers. So you're basically, you might as well forget the second ingredient of prayer. And so now we're moving on to the third ingredient, and it is seek. Seek my face. So if you have your Bible, how many of you have your Bibles with you? Very good. For those of you who do not, get one, pick your phone up, use it, get to know what it says. I tell you what, you cannot grow spiritually by not getting into his word. You can't do it. This is a recipe book for how to live godly lives. And it's, guess what? It's not just do's and don'ts. See, that a lot of people have that idea of what the church is. Well, if I start going to church, they're going to tell me I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't wear that, and I can't have a tattoo, and I can't have a piercing. That is not what this Bible is about. It is about becoming a child of God and allowing him to be in charge of our lives. That's what it's about. And the main part of that is the main commandment that Jesus says, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second one is almost as big, love your neighbor as yourself. See, a lot of people have this mixed idea, this bad idea that churches are just there to change your behavior. No, that's not what a church should be about. There are churches out there that want nothing more than to change your behavior and change you. And you can't do this and you can't do that. And it's about a bunch of rules and regulations. Jesus says, no, it's about loving my Father and loving one another. And we have to learn that. I know that this may be a shocker to you. Some people are difficult to love. Now, you may not have a problem with that. I sometimes do. And I have to learn to love those people. Amen? So I know this, I'm just preaching to the choir here, but you guys are perfect and you don't have those problems. So. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 7 through 12. That day David first appointed Asaph and his associates to give praise to the Lord in this manner. So this is when David was establishing the temple. Actually, he was establishing the Levitical way of doing things, and he was appointing certain men to be in charge of certain things as they worshiped. And so David was appointing this man named Asaph, and he was telling them, this is how you are to lead people in praise to God. And when we think of praise, the first thing that we think of here in our culture is just singing. That is what praise is. But there is so much more, according to this scripture, on what praise is. And this is, he was appointing him and his associates to give praise to the Lord in this manner. So this is instructed. And he says, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Now these are all ways of praising God. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength and seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. So this is David instructing Asaph on how to teach his associates and his people on how to praise God. And one of the things that he says is to seek his face always, which is exactly the same thing that is written in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Humble, pray, and seek my face. He did not say, humble yourselves, pray, and give praise to me. He did not say, humble yourselves, pray, and proclaim my name. or humble yourselves and pray and make known among the nations what I have done, or remember the things that I have done. He said, humble yourselves, pray, and seek my face. To seek someone's face is a very personal thing. It is relationship-based. I don't know how many of you have ever had a child, especially your own, a baby, when they can start recognizing things and their head doesn't do this anymore, and they start, you hold them, and they start to reach out, and they start to touch your face. And then they touch your nose, but there's something about that picture that is the way we are to be with God. We are to seek Him in such a way that we gaze upon Him and we think about Him and we take into consideration all the little idiosyncrasies of His glory and His character and who He is and how special we are to Him. Because if you've never had a little child do that to your face, you are missing out. It is amazing. And I'm a people watcher. There's nothing better than watching people. Especially like go to the airport in San Francisco. Best place to watch people ever. Because you have every realm known to man walking through there. And I just sit back and I just watch people. But I have seen people interacting with their children where you know that is a healthy relationship between the parent and that child. And then you see other people in Walmart. Now, it's not like there are not loving parents in Walmart, but there seems to be an overabundance of those parents who are not very good parents. And you hear the kids screaming from one corner and you're in the other corner. And you can look at that relationship and you can tell there's a little bit of love lacking there. What do people see from our own lives about how our relationship is with our Heavenly Father? When someone is observing you, do they notice that you have a good relationship with God? What do they see? See, my Bible says that we are to seek His face, which means we are to grow in our knowledge of Him, of knowing Him, knowing of Him. And so we did this whole thing on seeking God, and we've already done this study, but there are some things in here that I think that we need to revisit. Paul says, I think it's good that I remind you of these things. We need to go back to the basics. We need to go back to the number one command that Jesus says, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. How are we doing with that? How are we doing with that very commandment? Is it showing in our lives? Is it showing in the love that we show to other people? So we need to kind of look at, how is it that we do grow? How is it that we get to know Him more? How is it that we can seek His face? So Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. It says, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. We need to know more about who God is. Am I right? We need to go from a lack of knowledge about who He is and acquiring knowledge about who He is. How do we do that? We do that, one, mainly through this. God reveals His character. God reveals His personality. God reveals who He is through His Word. And when we become believers, He continues that process when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the gift that God gives to every believer, that is the Holy Spirit, that begins to live in you. And God will reveal himself through his Spirit. But he also does it through his Word. And if we are not in his Word, you are missing opportunities for God to reveal himself to you. It is an important part of the process in seeking his face. Amen?
Yeah.
So it says, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. So we go, the word knowledge in the Greek is gnosis, and it means general intelligence or understanding. How do you gain general intelligence or understanding? You have to put it in there. How many of you have ever been in a science class? Where have the rest of you been? But I don't know about you, but the general knowledge of science or biology was not just, I don't have that in my mind. I don't have a file on science unless I put something in that file. And the way I put that in is I have to study the book. Science did not come easily to me. And it comes easily to some people. You can understand it better than other people. Same thing with math. Some of you get math easier than other people. But I had to put that information, that general information and understanding, I had to spend time listening to lectures, which I hated. And I had to spend time actually opening the book and taking that information from the pages and planting it in my head so that I could regurgitate it during the test. But it's the same way with us and the scriptures. How do you gain knowledge of the scriptures? How do you gain spiritual knowledge? You have to do something. You can listen, you can turn the radio on and you can listen to a preacher. You can show up on a Sunday and listen to a message here, and I guarantee you, no matter if I'm speaking, or Pastor Henry, or Pastor Lee, you will be taught the scriptures. It is one of the pillars here at New Hope Christian Center. We devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching and the scriptures. Why? Because it's part of the necessary process to grow spiritually. What you do with it after that, we have no control over that. And we're going to talk about that later. So, we go from a lack of knowledge to an acquisition of knowledge. So knowledge is a good thing, and then we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. It says, but knowledge puffs up, while love builds up. Anybody ever met that annoying Christian who likes to tell you how much they know about the Bible? And they quote it all the time. They give you the verse, and then they give you the commentary, and then they rebuke you. There is a part about gaining knowledge that can puff you up. And you can become arrogant in how much you know. Because deep down, we like to let other people know how much we know about certain things. And if we're not careful, that acquisition of knowledge can lead pride. But it doesn't necessarily mean that knowledge is in and of itself bad. But it can become detrimental. So the acquisition of knowledge is not necessarily the goal. Well, what do you mean, Jim? You just told me that you had to gain knowledge and then move on from there. But now you're telling me that acquisition of knowledge is not a good thing. And that is not necessary. No, I'm not saying that at all, but there is a verse in 2 Timothy 3:7 that says, they're always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So it's not necessarily just an acquisition of knowledge that we're seeking. Because there are some people, and you have no idea, unless you're a pastor, you have no idea how many times I have had people come into my office for counseling on certain things. And they knew what they were supposed to do. They chose not to do it. And now they're coming to me because they're suffering the consequences of that and going, why is God against me? Well, didn't you hear when we talked about this? Well, yeah. Well, why didn't you do it? Well, I didn't want to. I don't know what to tell you. But there are certain people that sit Sunday after Sunday after Sunday hearing instruction, hearing the word of God. They leave here and then they just go, well, that doesn't pertain to me. Yeah, it does. Yes, it absolutely does. So there are those who are always hearing but never understanding. They don't get it. Psalm 119:66 says, teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I trust your commands. I've met a lot of people that I consider very smart, very well educated, but don't have a lick of common sense. Not one ounce of common. They're bright as all get out, yet when it comes to just basic decision making, they're dumb as a box of rocks. And they do things, and then they come to me and they're, why is this happening to me? I don't understand. I one time had a guy, and some of you probably know him, but I'm not going to use his name. He came to me, he says, Jim, I really need to talk to you. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand. So we met for coffee, and I said, well, what's going on? He goes, I don't know where all my money is. This guy's a financial advisor. I don't understand. I sit down at the end of the month and I write things down. I pay this and pay that, and there's nothing left. And I says, well, let's backtrack and tell me what you're doing. You know, what's going on? There's got to be a leak somewhere. And so he said, well, you know, I get up and I go down and I have coffee. And then I go to work, and then about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I go have another coffee, and then my wife and I meet for coffee after that, and I'm like, holy smokes! We sat down and we figured out this guy was spending almost $600 a month on coffee. He and his wife have a problem, and it's not the coffee; it's actually make your own pot of coffee at home. But here is a financial advisor advising other people on how to manage their funds, and he was so blind, he couldn't see that he was leaking money by buying coffee every 6 hours.
Crazy.
It's the same way with some of us. We're so stinking smart in certain areas, but dumb in others. That's why this verse says, teach me knowledge and good judgment. Don't just, not just the acquisition of knowledge, but how to apply it to my life. Because these scriptures are relevant to today. We can use these principles that God has given us today. But to hear the word, to sit there and listen to the word, and not apply them, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. So, we're talking about the good judgment. We're talking about wisdom here. Now, in the Bible, the word wisdom is sufas, and it means wise, forming the best plans and using the best means for their execution. So it's not just having the information. That is just knowledge. That is acquisition of knowledge. But wisdom steps in is when you use that knowledge that you have and you look at it and you use it to the best of your abilities in your life. It's the decision-making part of it. Okay, I have this knowledge, what do I do with it? Oh, if I apply it here, then this happens. And so the good judgment is the way. Now, there are two types of wisdom talked about in the Bible. There's number one is worldly wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. There is a wide range of information out there that is considered worldly wisdom that has absolutely no benefit when we're talking about the kingdom. None whatsoever. It is worldly wisdom. It is what the world considers right. It's what the world considers truth. And you are bombarded with worldly wisdom every single day. Every single day. And then the second kind of wisdom is godly wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. There is worldly wisdom and there is godly wisdom. And guess what? They are in complete conflict with one another. They will fight against each other. And so we need to make sure that the wisdom that we are acquiring is godly wisdom. Do you realize, as believers, each and every day, we should see the world more through God's eyes? You realize that? We are to become more Christ-like. We are to have the mind of Christ. And we are to grow in that each and every day. So, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about, first of all, how many of you do want to grow spiritually? Okay? Have you ever thought, and I have you ever thought about how much worldly wisdom you take in on a weekly basis as opposed to how much godly wisdom you take in on a weekly basis? How many of you watch reality TV shows? I don't. Yeah, because I'm better than you. But no, I'm very humble here. I do not watch reality TV, but I watch a lot of football. And I've never found where watching football really has a whole lot of spiritual benefit. In fact, it can be very detrimental. Especially if you're a 49ers fan. But no, have you ever thought about how much time you spend doing things that really don't have a whole lot of spiritual benefit to it? How many of you are gamers? Look at it. And I like gaming as well, but there's not a whole lot of spiritual fruit in that either. To completely get annihilated by an 8-year-old kid who lives in Connecticut is just very demoralizing. Because I'm old and I'm slow. Even on my game, I'm slow. I don't understand that. Turn up your sensitivity. I only get so sensitive at 51. But no, how much time do we spend? And then people say, well, I don't have time to read my Bible. Guess what? Yeah, you do. You really do. God gave everyone 24 hours in a day. Why? Because it's enough. It's enough. You know why there's not more? Because we would kill ourselves. Or we'd be bored out of our minds. But think about it. How much time do I spend, if I truly want to grow spiritually, how much time do I invest into that process? Right now, I'm trying to get in shape to wear a skirt and armor during the drama. And I looked at myself in January, and I thought, I ain't getting in that armor. It's going to look like 10 pounds of potatoes and a 5-pound sack. And so I have made up my mind that I started doing my workouts. And guess what? I don't like it. I understand why weight loss pills are a $1 billion business. Because I'd love to just take a pill and get in shape. Who wouldn't? Seriously. And what really stinks is I can work out for 5 days and then I allow myself the weekend for cheats. And it's amazing how quickly you can get out of shape. How long it takes to get in shape, and then you take 2 days off, and it's like, oh. It's the same spiritually. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. But it's what are you willing to do? If you want to grow in 2016, you have to do something about that. It doesn't happen by osmosis. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes time to seek God's face. It doesn't just naturally happen. So we need to take responsibility ourselves. So we go from a lack of knowledge to the acquisition of godly knowledge, and then the application of that godly knowledge. So it's not just getting smarter, it's not just reading the Bible, but it's applying what you're learning so that God can do what he wants to do in our lives. Amen? So how do we test the knowledge that we receive? Because there's a lot of things out there. There's a lot of things being taught that sound good, sound okay. So how do we test it? How do we know if it's godly wisdom or if it's worldly wisdom? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." You notice that's pretty violent. We demolish. Have you ever demolished something? You ever worked in construction? The best part about construction and remodels was destroying what was there. Just getting a sledgehammer and having at it. It's awesome. If you've never done it, find someone who's a construction guy and ask if you can come and help them demolish something. There's nothing like destroying it. Just taking a sledge, just going at it. Doesn't matter who's around or whatever. You just pent up aggressions. It's very healthy. Very helpful. I found it to be very helpful. But we are to demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Now, when I was raising my children, I had some help from Belinda. But my girls often had ideas that didn't quite go along with our ideas on parenting. We thought it was a good idea to have a 10 o'clock curfew on a school night. However, they didn't think that was a very good idea. So there was a problem. And the problem resolved itself in the fact that this is my house. If you want to continue to eat and sleep here, you will follow my rules. God has his own rules for our lives. Why did Belinda and I have a curfew established for our daughters? Because we're just mean parents. No. Because we knew that if they had stayed out longer, they wouldn't want to get up the next morning. That they would be tired. And they wouldn't want to go to school. And I didn't want that for them. There were other times when on the weekends, we extended the curfew a little bit to usually about 12 o'clock. Why 12 o'clock? Because nothing good ever happens after 12 o'clock. You know how I know that? Because I stayed out after 12 o'clock. But there were rules that I established in my household because I had my daughter's best interests at heart, whether they believed it or not. God is the same way with us. We may not like all of his ideas. In fact, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ideas are not your ideas. But when we are Christians, we trust our Heavenly Father. We trust him that he knows best about what we should and should not do. The reason we had those curfews is because I did not want my daughters going through certain things that I went through as a kid. As a young, dumb, teenage boy, I have their best interests at heart. God has our best interests at heart as well, whether we believe it or not. So when we have things that come up against what God's word is very clear about, those things are to be demolished. We are to take those thoughts captive. Taking them captive, wrestling to the ground, and kicking them out. That's how we are to do it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. We're going to wrap it up with this. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that we can have knowledge of God and we can be absolutely unproductive and useless in his hands? We are to add these things to our lives, to faith. Some people say, I have faith in God. I believe in God. That's all I need. Nope. Bible requires that we add these things to our faith. You know what happens when we don't add these things to our faith? We're the same type of believer we were when we first were saved. That was when we were four. Some of it was when we were 18. Some of it was when we were 23. But if you are in the same place spiritually that you were when you first believed you gave your heart to the Lord, there's something wrong. We are to grow. It is a very slow process. It does not happen overnight. It does not happen by just sitting in here and listening to a message once a week. Because when you leave here, you are getting ungodly wisdom bombarding you day and night. One of the very difficult things about being a youth pastor was we had a lot of kids, teenagers, that their families were just messed up. Absolutely messed up. And we would try to show them love and consistency and acceptance one night a week. And then you'd send them home to that dysfunction for the other 6.5 nights a week. And that is a very difficult thing to do. Because they're getting garbage 6 days all day long, 24 hours a day. And as a youth pastor, you're going to try to help them and help them heal in an hour and a half on Wednesday night. Guess what? You're going backwards. Does it mean that what we do is not worth it? Absolutely not.
God can use even you pastors to touch a life. And you know what? We may not see it right away. Kim and Roger may not see the fruit of what they're pouring into these kids right now. But it says that his word does not return void. We are called to sow seeds. We are not called to judge the soil on which it falls, but just to sow seeds and water seeds. And only God can make it grow. But the planting needs to be done first. The watering needs to be done first, and then God steps in and does his job. So, what are you doing for 2016? Those of you who raised your hands and says, yep, I want to grow spiritually this year. What's your plan? Because if you're just going to sit back and do the same thing over and over and over again, there'll be a little bit of growth. You'll have a little bit. But like with lifting weights, you want to see results, you got to lift some weights. That's why we call our Sunday morning workout Sunday morning workout. It is a spiritual weightlifting class so that we can learn with other people, hear what they have to say about certain verses, what they believe it means, so that together we can grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're called to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you. Did you guys read that? Add to your faith goodness? Yeah, I got goodness. I'm pretty good. Compared to so-and-so, I'm pretty good. And then add knowledge. Well, I know more than so-and-so. And self-control? Yeah. Perseverance. Godliness, mutual affection, and love. Those are things that we are to add. We are to put on. As his kids, we are to add these things to our lives. We have a music ministry team come up now. But there is a process of spiritual growth. And in that process, there's only so many hours in the day. And if you're very honest with yourself, there are certain things that I don't want to give up. But there are other things that I really couldn't give up. I found that my Bible reading time increased when the Seahawks got knocked out of the playoffs. Because what I wanted to do was, oh, what are they saying about the Hawks? Turn on ESPN. Sports Center, what are they saying about the Hawks? Then the NFL Network, what are they saying about the Hawks? What is Vegas saying about the Hawks? What are the odds on the next game? You know? And then when they got knocked out, it's like, I don't care anymore. I just don't want the Patriots to win. And I found myself with more time. It's like, I don't want to watch NFL Turning Point. There's nothing good happened in that game. Maybe I'll read my Bible. I just found some time. If your server goes down, gamer, maybe that's God saying, hey, how about spend a little time with me? I can't get online anyways. The campaign stinks. How about spending some time with me? The three ingredients that we've gone through. Humble yourself, pray, and seeking his face are going to take time. They are going to take time if you're going to be serious about it. Something else is going to have to give. Now, I'm not telling you that gaming is evil and that watching reality television is a sin. It's not bright, but it's not a sin. But we all have those things in our lives that take up our time. And we need to decide what's more important. Am I serious about this spiritual growing? Or am I just going to live my life however I want, whenever I want, whatever I want, throw God a bone every once in a while? It's all good. You know what? It's up to you. It's between you and Him. I can't make you do this. My wife can't make me do this. I can't make her do it. I can't make my kids do it. I can't make you do it. It has to come from you. If you truly want to grow, I'm giving you some ingredients here that you need to start implementing into your life. Change things and make 2016 way better than 2015. Amen?
Amen.
Please stand. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. And Lord, I pray that you would put in each one of our hearts the desire to seek you guys. That we would grow in our relationship with you. That we would grow in our love for you. Because of who you are. Because of what you've already done. Is the love that you have for us. That we would begin to seek you like a man. Help us, Lord, to learn to love you with all of our hearts, all of our mind, all of our strength, and to love one another. So that by our love for you and our love for others, people would know that we are your kids. That we are Christians. Living as you've called us to live. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. We ask that you would bless every Bible-believing church that is meeting today. Be with them. Let your presence be with them. Guide them. Let your spirit guide them. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are not alone, as we are called by you to live out the plans and the purposes that you have for each and every one of our lives, that you have given us your Spirit to guide us, to train us, to correct us, to even rebuke us. Help us to be obedient to you and to your ways. And everybody say,
Amen.
Amen. You are dismissed. Have a great time.